God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I do apologize. Today's first reading is very long. It is the first chapter of Ruth. But it will give us some context as we move into our sermon, and then the second reading will come to us from Ecclesiastes. So just kind of allow these words to fall upon your ears as I read the story of Ruth and Naomi. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left only with her two sons. Now these two sons took Moabite wives, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. So Naomi started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food, meaning that the famine that pushed them out had come to an end. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "Look," this is Naomi speaking to Ruth, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you, to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." But Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her. She said no more to Ruth. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Call me no longer Naomi, rather call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has dwelt harshly with me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned together with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, who came back with her from the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem, the beginning of the barley harvest. Our second reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 through 12. "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this second week of Advent, where we remember that it is peace that comes upon us, we hear the story of two unlikely women returning to a homeland long time away from where they had been. We also hear the story and the challenge of what it means to walk this life alone. And so, Holy Spirit, fall upon us to stir and move amongst us that we may hear an Advent message of hope and peace this day. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we are in week two of Advent, and as promised, we have a new quilt square. It matches the one on the front of your bulletin, so you too can enjoy and delight in this. And so we're incorporating more colors for the season of Advent into this quilt square. And again, I thank those who had a hand in producing them. You'll have to come back next week to see what week three looks like. But we continue in this journey about how words really do shape who we are as individuals and as a community, and how the words can be blessing into our lives and form and shape us. And today, you know, we remember from last week that we were blessed to be a blessing, that we received the blessing of God so that we can bear the truth of God into the world, that others can be brought into this fellowship and this community of faith. And today we move and we talk a little bit more about how that shaping of community happens when we hear these words of unlikely pairings, right? So if we look at the book of Ruth, really, truly, it is the story of Naomi. That Ruth is an important part of that story. But it was really about the story of a woman who begins with everything, a husband and two sons, but lives into the challenge of a famine. And so they go to where the food is. And in the process of going away from their homeland, her two sons marry and bring Orpah and Ruth into the family. And, you know, the husband passes away and there is grief. And so the sons were supposed to take care of Naomi. And then unfortunate circumstances led to both of her sons passing away as well. And so she is now a widow with two daughters-in-law, and none of them have a way to support themselves. That was the reality of where they were. So when we hear Naomi's words about, "Are you going to stick around long enough for me to marry again and bear more sons?" Because the tradition was that the wife would then go to the next brother, And Naomi was pretty reasonable in knowing that that wasn't going to happen in a very timely fashion, right? So she was generally concerned about the well-being of her two daughters-in-laws and said, "Go back to your hometowns, to your home places, because then at least there's possibility for you." Right? There's possibility for you to find a new husband, that you will not be caught up in the circumstances that I am now in. And, you know, so after hearing that the famine had ended, you know, Naomi and the two daughters-in-law are on their way back to Bethlehem. They're journeying to Bethlehem, which is the bread basket. Just think about that a little bit. Translates into the bread basket, but we also know it as the hometown of our Savior, right? So they're going back, and after much deliberation, one of the sisters-in-laws peel off, right? And she returns back to her home. But Ruth makes this pretty staunch claim that I am not leaving you, right? Where you go, I'm going. What you do, I'm going to do. Where you live, I'm going to live with you. Do not tell me to go away, because your God's going to be my God, and where your people are, those are going to be my people. Like, she said, there is nothing that you can say or do that's going to rip me apart from you and the community and this covenant that was established because I married your son, right? And so they continue to journey on into Bethlehem. And remember that Naomi had been gone for a while, so when people saw her, it's kind of like running into somebody you haven't seen for a really long time in the grocery store. You're like, looks familiar. And the wheels start to spin in your head, right? And they're like, oh, that must be. And then you remember. And she was like, well, I am not the person I was when I left, because I have lived a life of extremes, and now I am different, so call me by another name. And she tends to blame God for this, right? That she was blessed, and then God brought all these calamities on her. And even in that, Ruth was not deterred from remaining with her, to sit with her in the midst of her grief and her suffering and the circumstances that they were in, right? And so I wonder, if you sit and take a few minutes, has there ever been a time in your life when you were going through a difficult time and maybe all you really wanted to do was be alone, but there was that one person or somebody who just wouldn't leave you alone? It's every introvert's worst nightmare. But there is this steadfastness presence, right, of I love you, and I'm going to hold on to you even if you try to push me away. And that is very similar to our relationship with God. That there are times when, yes, we love God, God loves us, but in our own humanness and brokenness, we try to do things a lot on our own. And when things are good, we don't need anything, right? I'm good. But it's when things start to crumble that you realize that you are not really able to do things on your own, that you need that comfort of something bigger than yourselves. And for us, that is the presence of God. And so sometimes we may reach out for that ourselves, and then there are times where we need people in our lives to do that for us. That we need somebody to be firm in that and hold on to us. And so the Ecclesiastes continues in that narrative, right? Where it really challenges this idea of individualism and being on our own, and this whole how, and I know we've talked about it here in this space before, but the whole pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get it done yourself, right? This, I can do it. I don't need anybody else to help me with that. And that passage challenges that, right? And it makes me think of those extreme situations where maybe folks have gotten stranded in the wilderness, or maybe I've watched too many of those survival shows. But, you know, one of the things that they say is that when someone is really, really cold, you should lay with them skin to skin, because that will share that body warmth to keep you both okay, or better than if you were on your own, right? And that's kind of what we hear here. This idea that how do we stay warm when we're trying to do it on our own? You know, if we fall down, oh my goodness, if we're by ourselves and we're like, how am I going to get up off the ground? You know, versus if I'm walking and I trip and there's somebody there, there's at least an extra hand that can pull me up. I mean, I went and I walked around Wake Tech campus off in Fuquay, and I tripped. Sidewalk was like this. And I caught my right toe, and thankfully I had enough wherewithal to turn and roll into the grass, right, instead of down on the concrete. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thankfully I had a phone if I needed to call for help, but I eventually walked around and I called, saw a security guy. I said, hey, look, like, you need to know there's a trip hazard on the other side of the campus. And he said, oh, well, thank you for telling me, but what if I had fallen and seriously injured myself? I could have called for help if I had my phone, but in some instances we may not have that, right? And so this idea of how are we walking through life when we fall down and we need somebody to pick us up. We need somebody to be there to hold our hand and give us that lift that we need. The very last piece of this passage is what really hit me in the gut this week. Because in reflection of it, and talking in the lectionary group, that this is about radical connection, about being in community with folks that maybe we don't come from the same place, but there is something that binds us together that cannot be broken or taken away from us. And so reading from the last verse of Ecclesiastes that I read, and though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. Now listen carefully. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord. So in all of these instances, we hear about two persons. And so when we hear this threefold cord, there's a third element in this, which for me immediately brings up the imagery of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we are in community, two people, what binds us together is God. That is what we cling to. That is why we cannot do this life alone. Not only because we cannot do it alone as people, but we cannot do it alone without God binding us together. That binding together was promised at the very beginning and comes to fruition with the presence of Christ. And that is where we find ourselves in this season, waiting with anticipation, not only to remember the birth of our Savior, but the promises of God with us, Emmanuel. Never to leave us or forsake us. And the promises of Christ is what binds us together as a community of faith. A threefold cord cannot be broken. Thanks be to God that we have a God who is present with us, who binds us together, knits us together, stitches us together to a beautiful quilt of so many different beautiful people who were all created to be a blessing to God, blessing to the world. And we do not live into that blessing alone. We do it because God goes before us, God is with us, and God will forever be for us. Thanks be to God for a love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.